Let's move to number three. Number three. They all wore robes anyway. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you that? They all wore robes anyway, so it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You couldn't tell any difference in them. You couldn't tell a difference anyway. There definitely was a difference in their appearance and dress. Now, I know that they all wore, quote unquote, robes. But there was a distinction between different types of people in the Bible. You can find that by looking at different scriptures, which is what we'll do in a moment here. But there are distinctions. There is one way that somebody should dress if they are in the category of a widow. There's another way if they're in the category of a man. There's another way if they're in the category of a woman. And there's another way if they're in the category of a virgin. There are different ways that they had to dress. There were distinctions. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures here that will show us some examples of the difference or distinctions between the different categories. Let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5.
And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servants, that was said over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?"
Now, this is what happens. Ruth comes in and asks if she can glean in the field. Boaz, or rather the reaper, the man that was over the fields, sends her out. When Boaz comes up, he's standing there talking with the man, and he looks across the field and he says, "Who is that damsel there in the field?" Now, he's standing up here with the head, manager, or whatever you want to call him. And he's looking out across the field, and he sees somebody different, and he knows that it is a damsel. How does he know this? Because she had a flashing light above her head that said, "Damsel, damsel, damsel." No. He looked at the way she was dressed and knew that this was a young damsel. And so her dress was what revealed who she was. Let's look at the next one. Genesis chapter number 24, verse 63, 64, and 65.
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto her servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Now, I want you to notice several things. First of all, let me give you the blanks here. How did she see him at a distance at evening and know it was a man? Here she comes on her camel. She sees the man that she is going to marry at a distance. She looks at Eleazar and says, "Who is it?" She looks at him at evening, at a distance, and sees him out there and knows that it's a man. How did this take place? It was all because of the way he was dressed. There had to be a difference. Now, if you saw someone standing in the field out there in the evening, how could you know who it was by the clothes they wear? This is what's going on. She is looking at this and seeing by the way that this individual is dressed that it is a man. There has to be a distinction. Let's look again. Genesis 38, verse 14 and verse 15.
And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face.
Now, what she did here is she took off her widow's garments and she put on the garments of a harlot. She had garments of a widow. That's what it says. But she took them off and put on a veil to cover herself to make her look like a harlot. And so we see that there are two distinctions here. Number one, there is a way that a widow was to be dressed. And we also see that there is a way that a harlot would dress to try to entice or lure men. And so we see two categories here. She put aside the widow's garment. She put aside that which would designate her or make her appear to everyone that saw her as a widow. And then she put on another garment that would make everyone that saw her think she was a harlot. So we see another breakdown of the categories here. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10.
And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart.
There met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. There is a way that a harlot was going to dress. They wanted you to know they were a harlot. And so they would dress that way. We've already dealt with Proverbs chapter 7, so I'm not going to say much about that. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 18 and verse 19.
And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying.
I want you to notice that she had on the garments of a virgin. Garments that showed she was a pure woman. A virgin. Now, all five examples show a difference in the way people dressed. We can see several categories here. In Ruth, we see the poor and the widows. There's a difference. In Genesis 24, verse 63, 64, and 65, we see that there is a difference in the way a man should dress. In Genesis 38, verse 14 and 15, we see that there was a way a widow should dress, and there was a way that a harlot should dress. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, we see another way that a harlot would dress. And then in 2 Samuel 13, verse 18 and 19, we see a way that a virgin should dress. Now, the argument that people will bring is they all wore robes anyway. It is true. They all wore robes. But there was a definite distinction. Some people say it was anything from embroidery that a woman would have to wear to a plainness that a man would have to wear. It does not matter. There was always a distinction. Now, the reason is that God had set that up all the way back in Deuteronomy and said, as long as you're my people, I want there to be a distinction between the man and the woman. I don't want it blended. And so we can go all the way through the scripture and see that there is a difference that God wants between men and women in our appearance, in our dress, in all manner of things. He wants us to be different. As a matter of fact, if you look in the book of Revelation, you're going to find that there are demons. These demons are brought out and they are of men. They have the appearance of men, but the Bible said that they have the hair of women. That is blending the breakdown or the distinction between men and women there. God does not want that. And the very demons of hell come against that, attack that, because they want to break down the distinction between men and women. But God still declares, I want it. It is a command. It is something that will never change. It's part of my moral law. I want there to be a distinction in the way they're addressed. Let's look at number four. Number four, this here subject is large, large. How do we know what is men's apparel and what is women's? How do we know what is men's apparel and what is women's? What a question. People will ask this question, yet they prove their knowledge every time they use a public restroom. Say, Brother Brim, what are you talking about? How many of you have ever walked up to a public restroom, and when you get to where it says, you know, it's got two doors, the men and the women have to go in separate ones here, and you look at the door and it has the stick figure of a man and the stick figure of a woman. Now the man just shows the two legs sticking down there, doesn't it? Stick figure. I can draw stick figures. That's about as far as my artistic ability goes. But when it shows the woman, what does it show? It has a skirt on the women. Now, if anybody would say, and I've had them say it, Brother Brim, I don't know what is a man's clothes and what are woman's clothes. What are they? I really don't know. But every time they go to a public restroom, do they stand there for an hour and a half trying to figure out which one to go into? No. They walk up, they look at the door, they see the little stick figure, they see the little skirt on the one, and the women walk in there, and the men walk in the other one, and they never get confused. Well, at least not because of the stick figures. All right? Now, this is a proof that they do understand what's supposed to be done. The way that they live and the way that they dress proves something else, that they really don't care what God wants for them. Now, God has given us a distinction, and we can try to justify what we do by saying, well, this is men's apparel, or this is women's apparel, or we can say, we don't know which is which. Now, Sister Beam and I have discussed this, and Sister Beam gave me an illustration that I believe she used for the freshman class this year. I want a guy to volunteer. Any guy. Joe. Thank you, Joe. Come be with us on the platform. I need a girl to volunteer. Amy, you were halfway up just a second ago. Come on and help us out, Amy. So we have Amy and we have Joe. These two individuals are going to help us today. Sister Brim, would you come and be my assistant this morning for this illustration? Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. I hope you appreciate it when we're done. Now, we have some articles of clothing here. And we want to just hold them up here in front of these fine folks. Now, just take it off the hanger there. Now, Joe, if you'll just kind of hold this up here in front of you. Hold it up there where, yeah, you know, kind of a little short. Okay, now, does that look all right? We're holding a dress up in front of Joe here. Now, Joe, do you think that's all right? All right. Let's get these other articles and just use Sister Amy here. Step right on up here, Amy. Don't be afraid. All right. Now, so what we have is Joe, our junior class president, behind a dress. Okay? Here he stands. Got a pretty black jumper on and this nice, beautiful, what is that? Oh, it's a dress. It's not a jumper. It's a dress. All right? Now we have Sister Amy over here. Sister Amy, with a pair of small pants and a very small shirt, probably, you know, a couple X's there. And, you know, it's a nice shirt, isn't it? Better say yes, it's mine. It's a nice shirt, nice pair of pants that she's holding up there. And then we have Joe and beautiful dress that he's holding up. Now, we look at Joe and Joe says, well, now it's all right for me to wear this dress. It's all right for me to have this dress here because, did you find what I had you get there? Yes, here it is. Because I'm going to put a necktie with it, and it's going to be a guy's dress. Joe is now wearing guy's dress. It's a guy's dress. So it's all right. It justifies all that. Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound crazy? Well, it's all right. Now, what if we had him take his belt and put it around the dress at the waist, and we'd say, well, that's a guy's dress because it has a belt with it. And guys wear black leather belts with buckles on them. And guys wear neckties, so this is now a guy's dress, and Joe is all right to wear a dress. Is that logical?
No.
Well, let me ask you a question. We have Amy over here. Amy has a guy's shirt. Amy has a guy's pair of pants. But now if Amy would take another article of clothing called a woman's scarf, and she would put it around her neck, now Amy says, this is a girl's shirt, and this is a girl's pair of pants. Does that make sense? Do you know what? It said every day. Did you hear me, or are you just in total shock? It is said every day. Well, this is a girl's pair of pants because it has the button on the side. This is a girl's pair of pants because it has a zipper in the back. That said. Well, I've taken what was a guy's and I've made it a girl's because I put it with a scarf. We're trying to justify what we are wearing. But when we look at a guy in a dress like Joe, we don't care if he puts a tie with it. We don't care if he puts a belt with it. We just still think he looks kind of crazy. Now, one guy said this, and I thought it was very great. He said, if a man wears a dress, we call him a cross-dresser. But if a woman wears a pair of pants, we call her liberated. Now, where is the problem here? The problem is that we are trying to confuse what God has set apart, what God has made a distinction in. Thank you very much for your help. And we should have got pictures of this, Joe. But we didn't. Oh, we should have. Now, I want to just read some things to you to show you how far we have come. Here's an article from Monday, March 17th, 1997, in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. This is what is said in an article. Why all the hullabaloo about cross-dressing? Women have been cross-dressing for years, and no one gives it a second thought. Women wear jeans, flannel shirts, boots, sneakers, and tuxedos. Some even go to men's stores and buy raincoats, so what's the big deal? What they were discussing in this article is that someone had written in and was talking about cross-dressing. And then they are listing some of the responses toward it. Now, let me read you another one. A cross-dresser can be your attorney, your physician, your child's kindergarten teacher, or your druggist. They should not be labeled peculiar. Actually, they are sensitive, courageous men who are not afraid the caring, nurturing side of themselves. Oh. Oh? I think it's, oh. All right? Let me read something else to you. Would you want this individual for your children's bus driver? His name is Bob. His friends call him Trish. And parents want to call him a former bus driver. He says he feels like a woman trapped in a man's body. And he merely wants to express himself by wearing women's clothing, a wig, and eyeliner while driving students to school. Now we stand here and we think, that's ridiculous.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you that that's going on every day. Now, we've come all the way from the point in Deuteronomy 22:5 to where we say, God wants a distinction between the male and the female in the way that they are dressed. Do not mix it up. Now we are in this generation where the bus driver is wanting to be a cross-dresser, and he says he feels like he's a woman in a man's body, and he wants to be called Trish instead of Bob. We think we've come a long ways, but now let me show you this. Another article, Los Angeles Times. Designers are pushing skirts as fashion choice for men. It says, for American men, dresses and skirts are the next step. Said a development beyond the conformity in the Calvin Klein look, says Cohen, who styles full-cut cotton dresses that resembles men knee-length nightshirts as part of his men's and women's collection. So now they're pushing this. As a matter of fact, and I didn't bring these with me today, but I want to make reference to them. There are, and I have them in the office if you want to see them. There are now being made clothes, skirts, made specifically for men. Matter of fact, in November of this past year, 2003, in the Pittsburgh paper, which is where the articles came from, they have a full-length article in there with pictures of all different styles of men in the skirts. Men are modeling the skirts, and they are made for men. It's not a woman's skirt. It's a man's skirt. And so it's all right. It's justified. My wife looked at him and said, you know what? Those are nice skirts. They appeal to the woman. They are really women's skirts, but they're made for men, and so therefore we can say they're men's skirts. It's all right for men to wear them. We have come so far. We have come to the point where now we have not just been satisfied with women wearing pants, but now we want the men to wear skirts. I'm going to stand here and tell you right now, I will not wear a skirt.
Amen.
I won't. It'll not happen. Now, let me show you something else that shows you how far we've come. This is an article from the Baptist Bible Trumpet, and it is written by Steve Mays, who is the Trumpet editor. In this article, Steve Mays makes some comments about an editor of the NIV who is a woman. Her name is Virginia Ramey Mollenkott. Now, in this article, he tells us that she was one of the translators of the very popular NIV, New International Version of the Bible. And she was a lesbian and an outspoken feminist. When he first wrote this, several people took him to task, and so he is now putting more information out about this woman to try to show and prove what he has said. Virginia Mollenkott was a consultant for the NIV translating committee. She did work on the NIV during the entire time it was being translated and reviewed. In 1978, she co-authored the book entitled, Is the Homosexual My Neighbor?, in which she called for non-discrimination toward homosexuality. Listen to this. She wrote, to ask lesbians and gay men to pretend they are like the majority is to deny them the self-identification and affirmation that is the natural legacy of every healthy adult. Every healthy adult. Forcing gay Christians into silence also denies them the opportunity to celebrate in gratitude to God for their authentic nature and for their life-enriching mutual relationship with a loving partner. this woman has serious problems. And she was one of the major translators of the NIV Bible. Now I want to show you what she says about clothing. In the year 2001, Mollenkopf published Omnigender, a trans-religious approach. In this book, she describes her hatred of wearing dresses. Curiously, her remarks sound like many women in our fundamental Baptist churches and our fundamental Pentecostal churches. She writes in her book, "I feel myself to be female, all right, but masculine at the same time, so that dresses and skirts feel rather ridiculous. And this despite the fact that as a child, I was not allowed to wear overalls, shorts, or pants. One of the greatest benefits of coming out publicly as lesbian was that I could go through my closets and give away all my dresses and skirts, except for a few names of brand, floor-length skirts that somehow seemed less of an affront to my nature." Now, I want you to understand what she's saying. She's saying, I am a man, and so I want to wear man's clothes. When I was in the closet, everybody thought I was a woman. I wanted to wear woman's clothes. So in her own statement here, she's telling us there is really a difference between men's and women's clothes. She's trying to tear it down, but really, she just gave us some ammunition here. There is a difference, and even this lesbian, and I'm sorry, a sick individual, has told us there is a difference in men's and women's clothes. This lesbian's admission, quoting again, that dresses are feminine, reminds us that clothing is a form of language, showing us what we are or who we are by what we wear. In our society, pants have long been associated with masculinity and dresses with femininity. When we breach this barrier, we have moved in lockstep with the sodomite culture. Understand what I just said. Let me read this again. In our society, pants have long been associated with masculinity. That's men. Okay? And dresses with femininity, and that's women. When we breach that barrier, we have moved into lockstep with the sodomite culture, with the homosexuals and the lesbians. And when we say it's all right to break down that barrier, it's all right to break down that distinction, then we have moved into where everything's blended and you can be a man or a woman. You can dress like a man. You can dress like a woman. You can be effeminate. You can be anything you want because there's no more distinctions anywhere. That is how far we have come. Now, let's talk about how this all began. In the late 1800s, there was a woman by the name of Amelia Jinks Bloomer. How many of you have ever heard the term bloomers? That's where it came from. Amelia Jinks Bloomer. Now, she was the first woman to push the idea of pants on a woman. When she did this, people absolutely could not believe or fathom that this woman would wear these pants. They became known as bloomers because Amelia Jinks Bloomer was pushing them. And they couldn't believe it. They even, when they saw them, they would write articles in the newspaper and say, a woman was sighted in bloomers on such and such street, on such and such day, at such and such time. Because it was such an amazing thing that a woman would have on something that pertained to a man, that it was newsworthy. Can you imagine today, every time that a woman was seen in pants, that they would write a newspaper article or they would advertise it on the radio and say, so-and-so was seen on such-and-such street in men's pants. We can't even fathom that because it happens all the time. That's where we began pushing for women to be, quote unquote, liberated. Then when World War II came, it brought a change also. The change happened when the men went off to war and the women stepped into the factories to help build tanks, guns, weapons, provide, and keep the factory and the nation rolling. And so they stepped in. But when they stepped into the men's position, they also stepped into the men's clothing. And they would put on the overalls, and they would put on the pants, and they would put on the work hats. And they said, we are now filling the position of the men because the men have gone off to war. Now, I want to tell you something. It was good that the women were willing to step up and do things on the home front while the men were off in the foreign countries fighting for our nation. That was great. That's commendable. But I want to tell you, it's not their place. And when the time was over, they could have stepped right back into their position. But there was already damage done because they had already taken on the man's apparel now. And if it was all right for me to wear it in the factory, it's all right for me to wear it on the street. And it's all right for me to wear it everywhere else. Until now they say it's all right for me to wear it in the church. It's all right. It's just accepted. Then we have what was called the Equal Rights Amendment. There was a push for the Equal Rights Amendment. This Equal Rights Amendment was trying to make it illegal to discriminate against women. But how they went about it was you cannot discriminate against them on a job. If a man can do it, a woman can do it. And you cannot discriminate against them in their daily life. They should be able to do everything and have everything and be just like a man. I believe women should have rights, but I don't believe that a woman should be a man. And I don't believe that a woman should be just like a man. Equal, yes, but not the same as. Is that a hard concept? The problem is this. These women are blending the distinction by wearing men's apparel. In our culture, in America, it has been that pants are men's apparel. Dresses are women's apparel. But we have seen that so blended, so mixed up, to where most people now today won't accept men in skirts, but it's already coming in. It's on the horizon. It's moving. Trust me, it's moving in. My dad has always said, the day will come when men will wear skirts in the streets like women wear pants in the streets. And we're already starting to see it. It is an absolute breakdown and blending of everything that God has said, do not do. Do not blend it. Do not break down the distinction. But our nation has moved so far until now we say if it's women's pants because we put a zipper on the side or we put a zipper in the back or we put a button here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The distinction is still there and we are still supposed to maintain it. And if we don't, we are displeasing God. You say, Brother Brim, it's all because that's what you want. No, it's because it's what God said. Now I want to just close this up here today. This subject of men's and women's apparel, what is men's, what is women's, is so vast and large that we could talk on it forever and ever and ever. But what we've got to do is boil it down to this, that God has made a distinction, and just because we move buttons or zippers around, or just because we put a fancy bow around it, does not change the fact that we're trying to blend the genders. And that is exactly what God has tried to stop. Now, in our area of clothing, remember two principles. Number one, modesty. Number two, difference or distinction. And if we are going to be pleasing to God in the way we dress, men and women, listen to me. We are going to have to be modest, and we are going to have to keep a distinction between the men and women. The problem is that it has worked itself from the outside world right into the church. Until now, even in some of our conservative churches, we're seeing the same problem of it all getting mixed up. What we need to do is we need to fall on our knees and we need to say, God, I want to be holy even as you are holy. And God, I want you to put in my heart a desire to never break your principles on clothing. I want you to put it in me as a conviction that I will never, ever bow to the society's push to blend the genders. If you're a woman, you need to pray, God, I want to be a holy woman of God, pleasing and upright in all of my ways. Men, if you want to be a man of God, you need to pray and say, God, I want to be a man of God, pleasing to you and upright in all of my ways. That is true holiness. Would you stand with me?